Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I want to take just a moment to let you know this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and to invite you, if you are in the listening area, maybe you live here and are looking for a church home, or if you are just visiting in the area, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. We're located 1 mile on Baird's Creek Road. That is entering from the Highway 105 south side, and we are just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, just a few miles outside of the Boone City limits. We're glad you're listening today, and it's good to have Noah today. He's been busy working and doing a big project where he works, and so he's missed a couple of weeks, but glad you're here today.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
Good to be here. I've missed sitting in on these programs and helping out. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who are listening right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
It is a blessing to have the different listeners, and we hope you'll stay with us for the next almost 30 minutes. We have been dealing with a subject we just called personal finances. We took, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. I can't remember exactly how many it was, but we talked about personal finances, and that does pertain to your liberty. We'll talk about that just a little bit more today, but we went over in the time period that we dealt with that, we talked about the four R's of money, and we called that the receiving of money, that's income, the rule of money. We talked about giving, what the Bible says about giving. We talked about the retention of money, what the Bible says about saving. The prudent seeth the evil and hideth himself is what the Bible says. And then we talked about the reuse of money. And that's really all we do with money. We use it. It is a tool. And we spend money. We buy things. We ought to budget our money and use it wisely. The Bible talks about being prudent. The Bible talks about being diligent. We went over those things. We use money when we invest, when we think about retirement and getting a return on investment. So there's a lot of ways that we use money. We talked about that, and we spent all that time just focusing on personal finances. But today we want to take a radio broadcast time, and we want to talk about national finances, which usually, even in the government circles or those that maybe write about it in the newspaper, keep up with it, we talk about the economy. But if you talk about the economy, it boils down to talking about the national debt. It's more talking about debt than it is economy, if you really look at it honestly in the way that it is. But one of the number one reasons why each and every person listening should be concerned about their personal financial house and getting it in order is because our national house is not in order. And so we want to talk today about the national economy, national debt, national finances, some of the things, principles that we find in the Bible. You may be listening in today and you may say, well, I listened, or when I think about personal finances, I'm in pretty good shape. Now, you would be in the minority to say that, because most people carry a pretty good, pretty sizable amount of debt on a credit card, and that would be the majority of people. But you may be listening. You may say, well, I'm in pretty good shape. I have low debt or no debt. Low debt to me would be anything less than $500. Anything more than that is high debt. But anyway, you may think you're in pretty good shape. You may say, well, I've got a good job. I've got a steady income. I'm making all my payments on time. You'd really be rare if you were putting anything back in savings. But there are individuals and families out there that are like that. But what you may not realize is that if you are an American citizen, you are in debt. You are in debt collectively, probably more than you realize. Now, I want to just bring something to your attention today. I don't mean to be spreading bad vibes, but you're really in debt if you're an American citizen. You can actually, and I did not realize this until I was studying for this radio broadcast, but you can go to a government website and find out what your share of the national debt is. There's a website, and no, you might be interested in doing this. Sometimes he does a little research while we're on the air, but if you go to www.budget.senate.gov, you can go on there, and there's actually a page on that that says calculate my share of the national debt. And you can go on a government website that is put out there by the Senate, and you can calculate your share of the national debt. Now, just across the board, the average is $500,000+. But this website allows you to put in your birth date, the day that you were born on, and then you hit the calculate button, and you can find out how much according to your birth date, because they factor in, I guess, how much longer that you're probably going to live. But you can calculate your share of the national debt. So I did that. My share of the national debt was $253,856. I am that much in debt. No,
you got it easy.
How much do you owe?
I just looked at mine, and it's $681,086, according to that website.
So there's advantages to being older. And Noah just had a birthday last week. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. You're $600,000 in debt, and you thought you were doing pretty good. Well, Noah has a younger sister, and she's 7 years old. And I looked up how much she owed. You want to guess how much she owes? No?
I have no idea.
You have no? Well, I'm 45. I was $200,000. You're 22. You're $600,000. She's 7 years old. And her share of the national debt. Now, this is what's really sad about all of this. What we're talking about is what we are passing on. What kind of country are we passing on to our children and our grandchildren? My 7-year-old, her share of the national debt as of this morning was $1.2 million, $1,275,000. $275,447. And so when you think about the state of our nation and our nation economically speaking, where we are at, you find out two things. You might say, well, I thought I was in pretty good shape. But when a nation runs in debt, that's bad enough. But that nation also is running in servitude. Where we're not the lender, but we are the borrower. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7, and this is where we began with a few weeks ago, the Bible says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And that word servant there, it means to be a slave. And so we're living in as a slave nation, a nation of being in servitude as opposed to being a lending nation, which puts you on the top instead of being on the bottom. Every week when I come on, I say it. The name of this radio broadcast is Blessings of Liberty. And Blessings of Liberty is a phrase that comes out of the preamble to the Constitution. And so in the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, that's where it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And so it's talking here about the blessings of liberty, we the people, in order to. And it gives these five or six things in order to do this and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Our posterity, it simply means our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. The founders of this nation desired that the blessings of liberty would be passed on from one generation to another, to the next, to the next, to the next. And so that is why we have the Constitution of the United States of America. And one of the first things that you read about in the Constitution, and people need to read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and they need to be familiar with what it says. It won't take you all day to read the Constitution. It's very short, and it can be read in one sitting. But in Article 1, Section Number 8, it talks about the Congress, and it talks about that the Congress was given power over the checkbook, over the finances, over the paying of the national debt. Article 1, Section 8, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imports, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense. It goes on down to borrow money on the credit of the United States, to regulate commerce with foreign nations. And it goes on down and lays out what Congress is supposed to do. And so people today, you know, they may say, well, we're going to blame Obama. He did this. We're going to blame Bush. He started this. Well, they had a lot to do with it, but this reversing of the attitude of the nation, where we would be one that would pay our debts as opposed to a nation that would continually run in debt, has been going on for 100 years or more. And if you really want to lay blame at somebody's feet, you have to lay blame at Congress's feet, because according to the Constitution, it is Congress that has the power over the checkbook. And they're the ones that have continually allowed this cycle to happen over and over and over again. And so they were given the authority to hold the checkbook of the nation in the Constitution. And so if you want to blame somebody, that's really who you have to blame. And you can blame the Democrats and the Republicans. They just take turns upping the national debt. But it would be impossible to conduct business as a nation without these powers. Somebody has to have the power of the checkbook, so to speak, the checkbook of the nation, to pay the debts and to borrow and to pay it back and all of these things. Now, our founders and several succeeding generations after them, they had great success in the building of our nation. If you think about the history of the United States of America, it's really a miraculous thing. I mean, we went from being birthed as a nation, and it is no easy thing to birth a nation, especially on the magnitude that the United States of America was birthed. And so we were birthed, literally birthed as a nation, and as a young nation, in a very short period of time, we became not a little nation that just floundered around and barely made it, but, I mean, we went from being nothing to being a world leader in just a very, very short period of time. We went from looking to other nations for help to now other nations look to us for help. And if you know anything about our history, you know that did not take very long for that to take place. So just our history, where we were and where we came to and where we are today, it's really an amazing thing. Our country is just a little over 200 years old. But in the beginning, we were lenders, And we did borrow. We had to borrow right off the bat. Our nation started out in debt. We had to borrow to pay for the Revolutionary War. But our founders, they had an attitude that we would pay this debt back, that whatever generation borrowed, that that generation would pay that money back as soon as possible. And once upon a time in America, that was the national attitude. The attitude of the people was to not run in debt, was to not borrow money. Borrowing money as a nation or as individuals was seen as a necessary evil. You know, you've heard that phrase before, something being a necessary evil. Well, if you call something an evil, that means you'd be better off to stay away from it if you could. That the only reason that a nation would borrow anything would be because of a national emergency. And the first national emergencies that we had as a nation was war. You had the American Revolutionary War. And then just a few years after that, you had the War of 1812, where Britain tried to come against us and attack us once again. So there were national emergencies very early in our country's history. And we had to borrow because of that, because of war. But the attitude of the nation was to pay it back. The attitude of the nation was not to be in debt. To not be in debt was considered a virtue. It was considered commendable. And there was a lot of not just preaching, but teaching. Benjamin Franklin, if you read any of his writings, you don't have to read very far to find out that he became rich by being frugal. He became rich by not going into debt. And our founders also believed that it was criminal to pass on debt to the succeeding generation. They didn't want to pass on an indebted nation to their children and their grandchildren. So that was the attitude. That was the desire of the whole nation, was not to be a debtor nation. Our founders knew that there was more than one way to be conquered as a nation. They knew you could be conquered by a foreign enemy coming to your shores and attacking you and conquering the nation that way. But our founders also had the wisdom to know that you could be conquered without firing a shot. You could be conquered simply by getting in so much debt that you'd never be able to get out of it. And that puts you as a nation that was under servitude. And that's just a nice way of being slaves, being called slaves. So there's more than one way to be conquered. We might wave the flag and say we're free, but if you look at America's checkbook, what you'll find out is we're not free at all. We are in major indebtedness to other nations. And as we find our popularity as a nation going down all around the globe, just how long do we think it's going to be before some of these nations get fed up with the way we conduct our business and start calling in that debt? I'm telling you, we'd be in a heap of trouble overnight. Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, "Think what you do when you run in debt. You give another power over your liberty." So what was he saying? You can think what you want to, but when you run in debt, you give another power over your liberty. You are giving your liberty away. And we're talking about blessings of liberty. One of the blessings of liberty is financial prosperity. Being able to be the master over your money, not your money being the master over you. But as we've talked about in weeks gone by, when you run in debt, debt robs you of liberty. Benjamin Franklin, he talked about a man that would run in debt. He walks around ashamed. He cannot speak to his creditor. He does not take a chance that otherwise he would. He remains in a job that he doesn't like. He wouldn't be able to move somewhere if he wanted to move. I mean, being in debt, it robs you of your liberty. Even the budget.senate.gov website. Now, this is a government website the one that I was talking about that you go to and you put in your share. There's a little paragraph in front of it. It talks about that this is a threat to the national, to our national security. It talks about on that if we don't do something to basically change our ways, that it's a very dangerous time. And so what does that tell us? I mean, don't listen to what the politicians are saying on TV, the ones that are running for office. Look at the picture as it really is. And when you see the picture as it really is, we as a nation are in a very dangerous place. James Madison said this, "I go on the principle that a public debt is a public curse." And I'm going to come back to that in just a few minutes. A public debt is a public curse. Thomas Jefferson had a great deal to say about debt. He said the conclusion then is that neither the representatives of a nation nor the whole nation itself assembled can validly engage debts beyond what they may pay in their own time. And if you study about our history, you'll find out that our founders, our forefathers, they tried and for a long time were very successful in doing that. One generation paying off the debts which it incurred. But I'm telling you, if the whole nation decided tomorrow that we were going to pay our debts back, how quickly could you pay back $200,000, or a young person starting out $600,000, or a seven-year-old $1.2 million? We're in debt so far and so deep, I don't know. I don't even know if there's an answer to it. I'm not an economist. It just looks like such a mountain to overcome. I don't know if it's possible to overcome such a debt. Thomas Jefferson also said, "To preserve independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt." Perpetual debt is exactly what we have and what we have had in America for years and years and years. Perpetual debt is just loading it on, loading it on, loading it on, and we'll never get out of debt. And it's just such a dangerous, dangerous way to conduct our business. In fact, if you and I today as individuals, if we conducted our personal financial portfolio the way the government does, you and I would be in jail. You know, it's against the law to go out here and get a credit card, run it up to the max, get another one, max it out, get another one, pay for the first one, pay for the other one. You know, that's fraud. You'd get in trouble for doing that. But the government, what does the government do? Well, it just prints more money. And it just, you know, when they spend all that there is to spend, they just get together and raise the debt ceiling one more time and print more money. And Thomas Jefferson said, "To preserve independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt." Here's a good one. George Washington, the first president of the United States, he said, "To contract new debts is not the way to pay for old ones." They didn't even have credit cards back then, but he knew you didn't get out of debt by getting into debt, by getting more debt. Our national debt, you go on the internet and look up the national debt clock, you'll find that it's over $18 trillion. And there are those that say that it's higher than that when you factor in all the money the government has promised to Social Security, Medicaid, all of these programs that they're not even figuring in what the government has promised to pay. But this is just what they fess up to, $18 trillion some dollars. That's so much that it's just beyond the average person's ability to comprehend how much money that is, that our nation is in debt. One website I read said that it goes up on average of $2 billion every day. Well, whose fault is it? We the people. It's the fault of the Congress that has allowed this to happen over and over. And I can just remember in the past few years, all this fuss and hoopla about raising the debt ceiling. And it doesn't matter who gets in power. One blames the other, but they all do the same thing. Raise it again, keep going in debt, keep borrowing money. And what many people fail to realize, our time is quickly coming to a close today, but what many people fail to realize is the spiritual aspect of this. And you'll never hear a politician talking about this. You'll never hear an economist talking about this. But in the Bible, national debt was a curse. A nation that became a debtor nation was considered to have the curse of God upon it. And just like James Madison said, I go on the principle that a public debt is a public curse. So for God to put a curse on a nation, that's the opposite of God putting a blessing upon a nation. And so the debt, in the Bible, a nation that was in a debtor nation was considered to be being cursed by the Lord. And that would happen to the nation that would no longer listen to what God had to say. And there's a warning in Deuteronomy chapter number 28 that God gave to the children of Israel about this very thing. And if you read the whole chapter in the beginning, God says, if you do this and this and this, I'll bless you. And if you don't, if you do this and this and this, I'll curse you. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, the Bible said, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And there's a long, long list. That's verse number 23. It goes all the way down through verse number 68. So about a page and a half list of curses that God said would come upon the nation that would no longer listen to him. And beginning in verse number 43, the Bible said the strength, and you listen to this and see if this is not where we are today as a nation. The Bible said the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. When a nation is being blessed by the Lord, God blesses that nation, and it is a head, a leader. And other nations come to that nation to borrow. That nation is the lender. But when that's turned around and God places a curse on that nation because it will no longer listen to what the Lord says, it becomes the tail and not the head. Our problems in America are spiritual problems first and foremost. And Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and all the rest of that bunch, they don't have what we need. What we need is to return unto the Lord. Our only hope is to turn back to the one who blessed us and made us a nation. We need the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. We want to thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.